the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
We heard from St. Paul today in his epistle to the Romans that his heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. And then he says what I want to focus on. I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but it is not enlightened, or as it's often translated, or it is not of knowledge. They have a zeal for God, but it is not enlightened. As I was thinking about these words this week in preparation for my sermon, my wife and I came across someone on our vacation. We spoke with this gal, very nice. Yeah. I don't want to give the impression at all that I'm saying anything negative about her. In fact, quite an intelligent lady. In fact, an engineer, aerospace engineer. I was surprised she wasn't from Wichita. But in any case, we had a conversation with her, and during this conversation, it came out that she was too a Christian. And I would say, certainly, my impression was a very zealous Christian. And we had this conversation that ultimately ended up where we were talking about how our daughter was going off to college, and I mentioned that she was going to Creighton University, and that one of the things I appreciated about them being a Jesuit school is that they had that Christian foundation. In fact, when I took my daughter to one of the orientations, I was impressed because the first speaker was a chaplain, happened to be from the business school. He was talking to all of the students. It was a mixed group of students from different colleges. And the first thing that he said by way of introduction is, at this school, we believe that everyone is made in the image and likeness of God, and that belief drives every aspect of our school, from our scholarship to our service opportunities to the way that we try to get kids to interact on campus. And the woman we spoke with asked a good question. That's great that they say that, but do they walk it? Do they just talk the talk, or do they walk it? And so we explained to this woman our own experience at the school, because my wife and I both went there many years ago now. It seems like a long time ago. But one of the things that my wife talked about is how transformational it was for her when she had, it was actually a Jewish professor that was teaching there, but he taught a class about biblical translations. And she talked about how that opened her mind to see the Bible in a way that she hadn't seen it before, hadn't thought about it before. And ultimately, you know, when you think about it, most of us as kids, we grow up and mom and dad hand us a Bible and they tell us, this is the Bible. Read it. In our church school, we read the Bible. But very rarely do we stop and explain, how did the Bible come to be? When was it written? Why was it written? Who put it together? And who said that it's the Bible? Not only that, but we don't learn that there were other people that were saying different things about it, saying, well, this book shouldn't be in there, and that book shouldn't be in there. And for some of us, especially those who didn't grow up Orthodox, it's just a realization that the Bible wasn't written in English. Oh, interesting. There was something before America? We didn't know that. And so when we talked to this lady, she asked what was an interesting question, especially coming from her background, but it was one that just sort of stunned me and my wife at this stage in our life, but I can relate because I was there at one point. And she said, well, that's great that you learned those things, but how did it impact your relationship with God? And we tried to answer the best we could, but I've been thinking about that question in context of what we heard St. Paul say today. How did that help your relationship with God? So let me take a step back, brothers and sisters. When we're born, We think that we are the center of the universe. You know, we can't say it. We don't have the words for it. But when it's time for us to eat, we think that mom and dad should stop everything they're doing and feed us right now. And we spend most of the first few years of our children's life teaching them to be patient. To learn they're not the center of the universe, that they are part of a community of a family, and then a community of a church, a community of a state, of a nation, of a world, and so forth. And so we have to teach our kids that they're not the center of the universe. And this idea of teaching our children these life lessons is also applicable to our faith and to our religious beliefs. And I say that because most of us, it's not our fault. It's nothing that we did wrong. It just is. But most of us, we grow up and we're so self-centered. And so we make an idol of God. And the Bible, you know, deals with this a lot, speaking about idols. And idols in the Bible are not just what we think about, the old pagan idols, the statues that people put up, but an idol is any idea that we have about God that is not truly representative of God. Anything that does not accurately portray the biblical God, the God about whom we learn in the Bible. And so you see, brothers and sisters, as we grow up and as we learn, for example, my wife and I learning about different translations of the Bible. When I went to seminary, learning about the church and how the church came to be as it is today. You know the old saying, people don't like to see the sausage being made. They just like to eat the sausage, right? Well, that's idolization. We have an idol in our mind of what God is. We have an idol in our mind of what the church is. And so people make the mistake, as this woman was implicitly making, that by learning more, it might hurt your relationship with God, or to think that it's completely divorced from having a relationship with God. Learning about Scripture, learning about these translations and so forth. But what we find, brothers and sisters, is that this is not actually the case. Because I cannot have a relationship with God that's just some nebulous relationship that I make up. It's a relationship with myself and with the idol that I created. Imagine saying this about your spouse. Well, did you get to know about them? Did you get to know about their history? Did that impact your relationship in a negative way? Because you got to know them a little bit better? No, it deepens your relationship. Knowing about what your spouse is thinking, knowing about what your spouse has done in the past and how they've come to be who they are. You cannot have a real marriage and a real relationship with your spouse unless you learn these things and you process these things. It's the way that you grow a real, true, authentic, deep relationship with them and not just with the idol of your spouse. And many of us, when we walk down the aisle, so to speak, we have an idol of marriage. We have this conception of what we think marriage is. And any of us who have been involved in a marriage can find out very quickly the marriage is different than the idol that we had in our mind. And so, brothers and sisters, what I want to convey to you today is that it is important for us to smash down the idol that we have of God in our minds. An idol that is ultimately one based on the fact that we are self-centered and that we have to learn to move away from being self-centered. It should not be problematic when we start to learn about the Holy Scriptures. Because in learning about the Holy Scriptures and how they were composed, and when they were composed, and how they were put together, and how the sausage is made, that is how we came to know God. That is how we come to know God. Anything besides that is an idol in our own minds. You saw it this morning. It wasn't as clear because it was just me. It's better when Father John is here or when Deacon James is here. and we process out, we make the entrance with the gospel book. And when we say, come, let us worship and fall down before Christ. When Father John Bays is in front of me or Deacon James is in front of me, I don't move over and bow down to the icon of Christ. We bow down before the book of the Gospels, which we hear in the unction service. In that book is God's hand. And so anything that we do, any ideas and conceptions that we have that are not found therein, we are creating an idol. We are making an idol for ourselves. And if learning about Scripture is difficult for us, it's difficult because we are starting to crack away at the idol that we've created in our minds. This idol that somehow God should do everything that we want Him to do when we want Him to do it. Because ultimately, if we step back, isn't that sort of that immature understanding that we have of God? Isn't that when we hear people so many times, I'm struggling with my faith? Why are they struggling with their faith? Because God didn't do what they wanted God to do. God gave them something else. And they have not yet learned to accept that as a gift. And so you see, our goal, brothers and sisters, should be to learn to break down these idols. To accept God as He is, not as we want Him to be, but as He presents Himself to us. And He tells us in those Holy Scriptures, there are two primary ways that we may learn about Him, that we may have Him in His presence besides reading the Holy Scriptures. The first is here at the church. Not just because we're here present at the church, but because here, every time we have divine liturgy in every service, but especially in liturgy, we remember Him. This is an important biblical concept. It's not just we remember Him intellectually, but we bring back His presence to us. And we do that how? By talking about His Word, by reading His words in the Holy Scriptures, by what we're going to do now in the Divine Liturgy after the sermon is called the anamnesis in Greek, the remembrance, as we translate it. And we remember God's mighty works from the creation of the universe to His salvation through Jesus Christ. And we even, brothers and sisters, notice, remember His second and glorious coming. How do we remember His second and glorious coming if it hasn't happened yet? We make it present. We remember that this is happening because it was already told to us in the Holy Scriptures. And so we remember this. And He is present with us, ultimately then culminates in the reception of Holy Communion, His body and His blood. And the second way is when we leave this building. Maybe even before we leave this building, maybe even at coffee hour. When we help people who are poor and needy, not just monetarily, but people who might be struggling psychologically or spiritually, or in any such way, when we pay attention to people who are in need. And through that and through doing so, we see God. He makes Himself present to us. So brothers and sisters, our goal should be to tear down the idols that we create in our mind and learn to worship the one and only true biblical God. To Him be all glory, honor, and worship forever and ever. Amen.
Pray to the Lord, ye catechumens.